Welcome to Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit.
I'm Leslie Meyer.
I'm Megan Bennett.
And Megan.
Hey, Leslie.
What's the bullshit and the hot goss today?
Hot goss. So, super bummer, actually. Steve Albini, if you remember him, he was a producer of lots of amazing albums and records and bands throughout the 80s and 90s. Mm-hmm. He passed away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a super big bummer. So Big Black was one of the bands. He worked on Nirvana. He worked on the Pixies. So he passed away at 61. So the Steve Albini thing, the thing that sticks in my mind about it, that he did so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I vividly remember going to Coconuts Records and buying a million years ago, right?
Yes.
And buying an album called Songs About Fucking.
And how old were you?
I don't remember.
Did it just say that on the album?
Absolutely it did.
Was this like pre-Tipper Gore?
I think it was probably like probably in the fucking middle of Tipper Gore, come to think of it. I'd have to look to see exactly when that came out. But the band is called Big Black, and the album was Songs About Fucking. And it is it's like bright green. I'm like picturing it in my head and like a woman laying on her back. And it's, you know, very obviously about fucking, right? And I had zero idea what this album was about.
Just
no clue.
It's just hardcore.
You're
like, yeah, it's songs about fucking. What's that going
to
be about?
Bought the cassette. I'm like, I have to own this.
Yes, you do.
You know, march my ass up to the counter, plop down, you know. Well, I was with my friend Monica at the time, and Monica, her dad would always leave quarters on his dresser.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And so every Saturday or so, Monica would go in and take the quarters, and that's how we would buy new music. So
and then
we'd go to Coconuts, and we'd pick out some stuff, and I picked out the cassette of Songs About Fucking. Had zero. I loved it. It was great. It was not at all about fucking.
So what were the songs about?
I mean, I suppose it was about fucking, but mostly the title was just
that was
amazing. Yeah. No, it actually is a fantastic, fantastic record.
That's a beautiful memory.
Oh, well, we started off this podcast on a real
upbeat. We're super excited. We're super excited. But we do have like some fun. I was sort of like, oh, what happened in June 1980?
Oh, yeah. You know, talk about it.
Coming out in June of 2024.
Yeah.
Just randomly. Could have been the 70s, but I was like 1980. And we laughed out loud when we read this because on June 1st, 1980, the first transmission of CNN, the cable news network, happened.
Ugh.
It was the beginning of the 24-hour news cycle.
Man.
Rough. To all of our detriment.
Yeah. Like, do you remember back in the day when we didn't have that? When
TV just ended.
TV ended. Like, you would watch the news.
Yes.
And it would end with, you know, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your kids are? That kind of stuff, right?
Yes.
But it was done. And then you went to bed and presumably shit happened in the world.
Yes.
And then you didn't learn about it until later.
And how did we know that TV was over for the end of the night? I mean, because it would go up to like, at least regionally here for us, probably for everybody. There was the Johnny Carson show
yep.
at one point, and then David Letterman.
Right.
Separate
right,
channels.
Right. No. Yes. Well, okay. No, yes.
So there was like a late night thing
yeah.
during the week. It would probably be done around 11.
Yeah, like by midnight, you were bars. It was bars and a buzz, and that was it.
You had the multicolor bars, yeah. and some
or
channels
black
you
and
would
white
get the
you
like
were, you know.
The oh yeah, well right. yeah, because it was too expensive to have a color
mm-hmm.
TV.
Mm-hmm.
Or there would be the American flag.
Yep,
and then
oh,
static.
Didn't they used to play like the anthem or something at
yes.
the very end too? Okay,
yes.
Wow, yeah.
And then we would have static because if we didn't have static. We would never have had Poltergeist.
That is
one
true.
One of the greatest movies of all time.
I mean, she would have gotten up and watched CNN.
She would have. And everything would have been fine. That family never would have known what happened
on
that
land. Burial ground, not at
never
all.
Would have happened.
Nope.
Carol Ann, totally groovy. She's just not traumatized forever. We'd never would have seen Joe Beth Williams in her very cute like football jersey. That like famous scene where she and who was the actor that played her husband get high, and it was just like a normal nobody freaked out about it.
Just CNN, you know, just
would have saved a lot of lives. Nobody would have gone in that closet.
Right.
Okay.
I think I'd take it. I think I think rather than have 24-hour news, I would.
It's fine. You all are sacrificed to the closet, to the spirits that are in the house that are going to consume you.
Right.
It's kind of the same thing, really, but at least in Poltergeist, it's a little more dynamic. You have more agency. You can fight your way out of that.
Really pool. Fucking deep here, right? Like, it's basically the same thing as 24-hour news.
Yeah. Quickly going off the rails.
That's right, though. Here we are. My God, that's awesome.
So we'll have to deep dive into, like, horror-ish movies of the 80s at some point.
Oh, please, yes. Just
for fun. And, like, what you were allowed to watch, like, at sleepovers or... Right.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do that now.
We're not going to do it now.
We're going to wrangle that thread back in. And what we're going to talk about, which you've been excited about and I don't know anything about, is what shit are we sick of today?
So it's interesting, like you brought up Poltergeist and there could not have been a better segue. Like don't even know. So it's not something we're necessarily sick of today. It's it is a post in the group that has brought me such amazing joy.
Ooh,
because it's got
I love it.
It's just so fucking visual. I can't stand it. So one of the members, and I will just say it's Lisa, and I will leave the last name alone, mm-hmm. but she said, a very weird observation I've made, mm-hmm. but has anyone noticed a difference between the way we used to flip the bird and how kids do it now? I can't really demonstrate, but I feel like in the 80s, we put all of our other fingers down farther. Now people have the other fingers down with their thumb up. No idea why I think about these things, but I do.
Fascinating. So,
the only thing I can think is like, it's a penis and two balls, you know, if you like it.
Right?
It's like this. Or is
like,
it like,
I use my thumb to like crisscross.
Right. Is it committed? You know,
Tim is doing this weird half finger thing.
So yeah. So you've got you kind of have the balls on the.
I can't like do it. All of that though. Like that feels really.
This feels when they're all down and you're holding your fingers. You were very aggressive about it.
That's how I feel. This episode might not play in all countries.
Oh, it
that
might not.
Symbol
it's too
is
much.
Not universal. The middle finger.
This, so we should probably
we
tell,
are in.
Right? Like, we're in the United States, and that is you're telling somebody off in the
yes.
in the most
saying,
aggressive way.
You
are saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
Which does translate.
I think that translates
everyone.
Pretty well.
Yeah. But it was funny when you bring up Poltergeist, and, like, literally somebody in this thread was talking about how that little girl, you know, flipped the bird in the movie.
She did?
I think so. I read it somewhere in here, and I don't remember it, but like somebody wrote that in there that like she was like a bird flipper.
Wait, is there? Yes. Yes.
And so that made the connection.
Yes.
Right?
I'm
so
back
like, okay.
In my mind palace in the Wayback Machine. Yes, I remember that. So what was the conversation about this?
Like, so what I just.
Is this real?
It's hilarious. Like this thread is so much fun, but I made the comment in here that I just picture mm-hmm. 447,000 women internationally mm-hmm. trying it out.
Yeah.
Like everybody just wants to know what the fuck
what?
Their bird
really?
Looks like. And you did it too.
And then running out and asking like Gen Zers or younger to like flip the bird.
Right.
And be like, show me what you do.
Hey, millennial, could you flip me off, please?
Right.
You know, just to see what it looks like. It's brilliant.
Was there a consensus?
No.
No.
No, it's just great. It's just this all
that was it.
This conversation that just goes on for, you know, about 600 comments, which is
that is magnificent.
Yeah, there's pictures of Joan Jett being, you know, very aggressive
yes.
with her flipping off. And then thankfully, members took pictures of their own fingers flipping off the camera and then shared them in the group, which
that's
is
really
pretty
powerful.
I think so.
That's like sort of the greatest symbol of Gen X women just being sick of shit in general.
Yeah.
This is like We're all going to work with flipping the bird.
Yep.
Together.
Yep.
At the same time.
Yep. Oh, here it is. I learned to flip the bird by watching the teen daughter from Poltergeist. She had the best style with it.
Yes.
Oh, so it was the teenager. Oh, that's right.
It was the thing. She did was it like the pulling the fingers down and pulling one finger up?
It must be. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Up right now. I'm that's all right. That's your pretend.
That's expert. Your thing. You're an expert, I'm not expert. Up.
It's fine.
Yeah.
That's magnificent. I do remember that.
So just for a moment, mm-hmm. picture 447,000 women just kind of maybe in unison, just flipping the bird. High. Mm-hmm. I like it.
That's impressive. Like, makes me feel good in my head. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not so much being sick of shit.
No.
But it's like an observation of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Which could be included in this.
I think the thing right now that I think a lot of people are discussing and probably a little bit sick of is that whole man versus bear conversation too. Like if you're in the woods.
Tell me about this because I have read about it and I was so confused. And then I had somebody somebody sort of broke it down for me on Instagram. I mean, not me personally.
Right.
But they were just basically like, I don't know, it would be easier to be with a bear.
Yeah. So it's basically if you're walking through the woods, would you rather come across a bear or mm-hmm. a strange man? And kind of universally, I won't say 100% universally, mm-hmm. but generally speaking, I think women feel like they would have a better shot with the bear.
Mm-hmm.
Like that potentially men are scarier
in a different
and
way.
And more unpredictable in a lot of ways than a bear.
That and yeah. it's been a hot conversation.
Yeah, it's pretty much on every place I've looked on the internet. It's all over the place.
They're talking about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And it has. And so we work really hard not to bash. Like,
correct. 100%.
We are not man bashing, but
right.
There are men in the group.
Yep.
We have men who are moderators in our group.
Yep.
In fact.
Yep.
But it more speaks to the sense of uncertainty.
Right.
And gosh, that women experience in the world if they are out walking around by themselves,
right?
That there's this sort of underlying awareness that you have to have of your environment.
Yep. Exactly.
To keep yourself safe.
Right. Right. And we live in a world where one in three women are sexually assaulted in their lifetime, and that's right. That's pretty heavy stuff. And so so it did come up in the group, and we are trying to make sure that we're not bashing men because mm-hmm. of course it's not all mm-hmm. men. Of course not.
Oh,
No. It's just a conversation that's happening and that we're hyper aware of. Mm-hmm. And, when you've got that many women in a space, those topics come up.
They have conversations about important things like that. Yeah. And I think it speaks to just being accountable for one's own behavior.
Right.
And that's a conversation that I see a lot amongst all folks. Is that we need to be accountable for our own behavior in public spaces and consider mm-hmm. our impact on others.
Right.
And that's not something that we always experience.
No, it's true.
It's hard to do.
It's true. Agreed.
You know what I think we should do?
What should we do?
With Megan, I think that we should talk about someone's 5 minutes of fame. Not 15, only 5.
Well, I want to know about your 5 minutes of fame.
I have a few.
Okay.
I've just picked one.
Okay.
That is relevant to the 80s.
Okay.
That will also be sort of an insight into part of my life.
Bring it on.
Which is just a fun fact about me.
Okay.
So when I was probably 10 years old,
all right.
My mom, what I understand now is that I probably had a ton of energy. And she was not quite sure what to do with me.
Okay.
And I needed someplace to go. And I loved swimming. And mm-hmm. my mom had been a lifeguard and she did water ballet.
Okay.
It was called then in the olden days, with Esther
Williams.
Last name. Thank you. Uh-huh.
I told you I'm going to help you with the words.
Ugh, love that. With Esther Williams. So she did some water ballet, lifeguarding, taught swimming, all this stuff. So she's great. Fast forward to the 80s. It's now called synchronized swimming.
Yes.
And it's an Olympic sport, right? We're like on the cusp there. So I go for some like Girl Scout badge, like tryout day. Okay. Were you a Girl Scout?
I was a Girl Scout.
Okay. So I went for this badge tryout day. It was at the IUPUI Nautitorium, this big like Olympic size swimming pool and diving pool. And it's part of the university.
Right.
And I loved it and I thought it was great. And so I joined the team and I was like swimming 3 days a week and competing at the Junior Olympics and all of these other things. But my 5 minutes of fame was when the U.S. Olympic trials were happening in Indianapolis because we had this badass pool.
Uh-huh.
So it was the synchronized swimming trials and the diving trials.
Okay.
So on the synchronized swimming end, oh gosh, when was this? 1980. I should have done a little research. The U.S. team was here, and there was a swimmer. Her name was Tracy Ruiz.
Okay.
I think that's how you pronounce it. And she was like, I think the gold medalist when she went to the Olympics. But like in our very tiny world of synchronized swimming, she was the hottest
deal. Yeah.
Big freaking deal.
Okay.
Hot shit. So because we were on the team, we got to meet her and I have a picture.
Love it.
You know, like right after swim practice, like with my hair parted down the middle, wet, brushed. And she's like smiling and she's beautiful. All this makeup on, like, I don't know.
It just looked gorgeous. How does that stay on water anyway?
Oh, a whole special segment of makeup that you wear in the water.
Okay, all right.
And she's like signing my poster and I'm just like, you know, like, so that was cool. So then the other part of this though is that the diving, all the diving teams, the U.S. diving team was here as well. So after practice one night, we would be done like around 7:30. And we knew that the men's diving team was like going to come out.
Okay.
So we went downstairs and like hung out outside where you would come up from the locker rooms. This is my like child mind. I'm probably like 11 years old at this point. And we hung out waiting for the diving team because on that diving team was Greg Louganis.
That's pretty cool.
And he was quite beautiful.
And he was a pretty man.
He was quite beautiful. Yeah. And there are all these like middle school girls. That's not true. They were probably middle school and high school because our oldest team member on the Junior Olympic team was 17.
Okay.
I mean, it was very obvious what we were doing.
Sure.
We were
you're not subtly just hanging out there. Right?
And there were a couple of other guys that were pretty well known, but it was just like he came up out of the locker room like the diving god that he was. And we were just like like downstairs, like hanging out and having him sign whatever. And so we got to like hang out.
That's awesome.
It was pretty fun.
That's fun.
There you go.
And I bet you beamed for days about that.
Got to
right?
go to school and talk about it. And
very cool.
Watch the Olympics. We're like, we know that.
He's my friend.
He's my friend. So this is going to be like a kind of from the group segment in the future at times.
Yep.
We hope to.
We hope. We hope
five
that.
5 minutes of fame.
Yes.
But we also, you have some too.
We're
going to share personal. And you have one.
I'll share one. It's dumb.
No, this is not dumb.
It's pretty dumb.
This is great.
It's pretty gross. So I went to a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
I was quite the, and still am. I love.
Oh, we're going this
one. I'm going to go with this one.
Oh, right, right. I was like, wait, I'm so confused.
No,
I'm on board. I'm right.
So I went to lots of shows and still do. And I remember painfully vividly going to see Public Image Limited.
Yes.
They opened for INXS.
Very
at
nice.
At Market Square Arena in Indianapolis. And I had second row seats. And I can tell you a whole story about like my concert going as a kid. And I will in the future. But yes, I always had pretty good seats to shows. And so I was in the second row. And Johnny Lydon came out, did his thing, singing all the Pill songs.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Lydon is, let's be honest, he's kind of an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And he blew a boogie out of his nose. And
like on purpose?
Oh, yeah.
Like it was not just an accidental boogie?
No.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure he's never done anything accidental that you know.
Like got that. You. Heard.
And he hit me right in the forehead.
Did it stick?
Yeah. It was pretty gross. I thought I was going to die. I was pretty sure I was going to catch some sort of disease and just like die right there. It was pretty gross. So.
Did you just like wipe it off with your hand?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. The people I were with were like, oh, that's disgusting. Like, yeah, no, it really is.
It was not cool.
It was very not cool.
We're not ever going to do that.
No, again. I didn't. And that's kind of when I decided I really didn't like Public Image Limited anymore.
You're like, I'm done.
It's like, I think I'm done with you. I
don't need to do that again.
Yeah. No, pretty gross.
5 minutes of fame. That was like 30 seconds.
Infamy?
Is that infamy? That's exactly what that was.
30 seconds of infamy instead of 5 minutes of fame. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of diseases that you could get from getting a booger on your head.
I was convinced that I was going to get leprosy or something and like lose an arm from a booger on my forehead. It was just
flesh bacteria.
Yes. And like, you know what? Now there are brain bacteria. So I know it's not that far of a stretch.
It
really
could have happened. I'm glad he did not hawk a loogie.
No, it was a full on boogie. It was like, yeah.
That's so freaking disgusting.
So gross. I mean, really.
So what would happen like when you got... Let's just say.
Okay. All right.
Let's say that you got leprosy.
Yeah.
What was it like getting sick as a Gen X kid?
Oh, man. So, like, there was really good parts to getting sick as a Gen X kid. Like, okay. The whole staying home and watching TV and, you know, watch it. Like, everybody watched the same things. It was I Love Lucy and it was Andy Griffith's show and it was, you know, you'd have some... At least in my house, my mom would make like Jell-O water, like warm, like just not Jell-O, but like the warm like Jell-O water. That was so good.
I don't remember this at all. So yeah, did your mom? Were you? Was there a period where there was a parent at home? Was there a period where you were on your own?
I was pretty much on my own, so it would have been like mom would have made it and rolled out, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, and just lay there and eat your Goldfish crackers and watch your TV and drink your, you know,
your Jell-O
water. Jell-O water.
I remember. Did you get an inordinate amount of like strep throat as a child?
I didn't. I felt like I got pretty. I was pretty lucky. I didn't really have. I didn't have tonsil problems or anything like that.
Earplugs. It felt like not earplugs.
I did always have sinus infections though. Yeah. Okay. Like I had, cause as a baby had to have tubes in my ears and the whole, you know, that whole thing. Yeah.
What was it with everybody getting tubes in their
ears? I don't know. I'm convinced though that it either saved me or made it worse. I don't know which, but
my brother also had to get tubes in his ears. Like as a baby. I was just like, what's going on there? So what about, I think as uniquely kind of Gen X 70s 80s kids diseases, chickenpox.
Oh my god, yeah.
And for sure. So did you know about chickenpox parties?
So yes, but that's not something, thankfully. My mom did not send me to a chickenpox party.
This was real.
Super grateful.
Like one kid in the grade would get chickenpox and the parents would like get all the kids together for a sleepover. So that all the kids can have chicken pox at the same time.
Find that to be fascinating.
It's really disturbing.
Like super disturbing.
But like you
couldn't
avoid chicken pox. Like now we have vaccines for this.
Well, I mean,
because yay science.
You probably could by just, you know, if you didn't feel good, you stayed home. But but yeah, you're right. Like
you get them all together.
You just get them all together.
Because it was like, it was thought of as something that was inevitable. Like you were going to have to get chicken pox to get through it.
Right.
Like that was how you got your immunity.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and you were only supposed to get it once. Fun fact. Had it twice.
Wow. Did you now?
Yep.
Fascinating.
I was lucky. Got it like in preschool and then again like in kindergarten or something. So
I'm hoping that you've had your shingle shots there, Missy.
What a lovely segue to Gen X women, is
bringing it back to reality.
If you are the age where you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
With chicken pox and chicken pox parties, you should be getting your shingles shot, which I have not gotten yet.
You should.
I know. I need to go do that.
Not so fun fact. Everybody should get it. Mm-hmm. It hurts like a son of a bitch.
This is what I've heard.
Yeah.
This feels like a segment where we would have an expert, but we didn't know we were going to talk about it.
Yeah. Right. So we're making it up as we go. We are the non-experts. Yeah. So
we are the expert.
Yeah. So, so just know that this is not actual medical advice.
This, although is absolutely you should totally not
get your vaccinations.
You should, because I don't think my grandmother ever got one, and she got shingles.
My grandmother had it too.
Awful.
Yeah. Yep. My grandmother had shingles too. And I would not wish that on anybody.
So she thought it was inevitable.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I thought was inevitable as a child.
What's that?
I don't know where this fits, really. I just believed that I was going to have dentures. Like that was part of growing up.
I mean, my grandmother had dentures. I know. Probably thought that
right?
too.
And my great-grandmother. Like, so like when you were a baby,
You
grew up, you got baby teeth. You lost your baby teeth. You got your adult teeth.
And
I assumed at some point that my adult teeth would also fall out and that I would get dentures. And that's what it was to grow up.
Man, that sucks.
I'm grateful. I was like always confused about when that was going to happen. Like what part?
Like at what age? Like how long do I have before my teeth fall out?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because she talked about it, because just dental care was very different then.
Yeah.
So as a Gen Xer, what did you live like in a multi-generational household? Was yours totally like nuclear?
No, I did.
Isolated? Or how did that go?
Yeah. So it was me, my mom, my grandmother, and my sister were mm-hmm. all together. So my dad and mom divorced when I was like six.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom tried to, you know, raise us the best she could. And then mm-hmm. after a while, my grandmother moved in with us, which was great. Because in all of, you know, she was sort of like my dad for a lot of, you know. A lot of my life and kind of held us together pretty good. But yeah, so that was growing up with that, all of those different generations was a mm-hmm. lot of fun. It mm-hmm. really was. And she took amazing care of us.
That's so special.
But on the denture side of things, she also,
tell me about your denture.
She had a full, her entire top of her mouth
okay.
was dentures.
Yep.
And when she wanted to really scare the holy fucking shit out of my sister and
I, this in my soul.
She would take her tongue and push them out, and there'd just be these teeth protruding out at you.
And it was about poltergeist.
Holy shit. It was the funniest thing ever. We'd be like, Grandma, you gotta keep your teeth in. Keep your teeth in, Grandma.
I think that's like, I wonder. So this is something that we should add, like, that we should put this question to the group and just put it out to the audience.
What age did you think you were going to lose all your teeth?
All your teeth, that you were going to get dentures. Did you believe that that was true? Were you also terrified if you had living grandparents, which is such a privilege to have, did they try to terrorize you with their teeth? Because I don't think this is a thing that like my kids would have experienced in quite the same way. I got to live with my grandmother in her later life. So my kids grew up with their great grandmother. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, I mean, but she had a different energy then, right? And they were her great grandchildren. Right. So she wasn't like interested in terrifying some of their dentures. Although it was a little creep. They would find them in the cup in the bathroom.
And that
was like a bit of a shock when they were little.
With those little like pellets that would
Efferdent.
Clean them. Yes.
I assumed Efferdent and teeth cups were going to be like my future at this age, right? Because like at 51, my grandmother retired probably at 50.
Yeah.
55.
Yeah, probably,
maybe.
Right? Like, yeah.
And she had dentures before that.
I cannot remember a time that my grandmother didn't have dentures.
Who knew this
so
was
like
going to
be
such an important conversation?
Life, she would spit those teeth out at me.
That's me. Amazing and a little bit disturbing.
Oh my God, I miss her.
Okay. Aw, yeah.
That's my grandma.
Yeah. Anyway, it's such a lucky thing to be able to have that experience, because I know not everyone gets to have like a kind experience with a grandparent, or not, you know, I mean, if you get one, that's really great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, similarly, like I remember my great grandmother, my mom, and then me. We have that like kind of generational photo.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. We were on. Yeah. Same kind of thing. You had big families, and over time mm-hmm. they just kind of start shrinking and disappearing, and mm-hmm. it's a sad thing, but we were very, you know, it sounds like you and I both were very mm-hmm. lucky to have what we had for as long as we did.
Mm-hmm. Teeth included or excluded.
Put your teeth back in, Grandma.
Well, I think we've done a pretty good job today.
I think we did.
This might not be typical of our episodes. This is like a sample.
Right, right.
This is a sample episode. This is a sample
episode. And we do, you know, we will have experts when we can.
Mm-hmm.
And they can tell us that what we're talking about with chicken pox is completely not right.
Yeah.
And we are welcome and open to that. Yeah, and I think, but yeah, this is a good example of us just having a podcast.
Welcome to Gen X. Women are sick of this shit.
Put your teeth back in, Grandma.
Thanks for listening.
Till next time. Hey, Leslie.
Hey, Megan.
Hey. So how do people find us if they want to find us?
I am so glad you asked. They can visit us at the original Gen X Women Are Sick of Your Shit Facebook group, which is a private Facebook group that is moderated. You do have to ask questions to get into the group. Give us real answers. We read every single one.
Make us laugh.
Love to have you be part of the community there. We also have a Facebook page for the pod.
We do.
Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit.
Right.
I don't know what we're going to do on there yet. Probably just general show announcements, information that is integrated with our Instagram, of course.
Yep.
I feel like I'm really over-explaining social media to people, but that's okay.
It's okay.
Because I am a woman of a certain age, and I feel like I have...
Some shit needs explained.
It does.
That's just it.
And they can also find this, our collective shit, at genxwomenpod.com, where you can sign up for our email list.
You can. You can purchase merch if you wish. We have a whole bunch of merch that is right now at an Etsy store and will be moving and onto our website.
And you can share your stories with us. If you would like to be featured on the Gen X Women Are Sick of This Shit pod, please send us your story. We always need stories about 5 minutes of fame. What was your 5 minutes of fame as a child of the 70s or 80s?
Love it.
We would also love to know what you want to hear about. So important topics, the things that you are sick of right now. And we are looking for sponsorships.
Yep, sponsors, collaborations. If you are interested in working with us, then reach out that way too.
Good job.
Hey, you too.
That was really nice.
Yeah, you did a great job. Good job, you.
I know. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.